This is Rebellious Research, written by Pink Flowers and read by Flower Parish. This is a Star Wars Rebels fic, rated mature, featuring the pre-relationship Kallus/Zeb, centered on Alexander Kallus. Tagged for Guilty Alexander Kallus, Angst, Fan and Typical Lasat Anatomy. Summary. Kallus does some research, and then he gets an eyeful. He can't get it out of his head, what Aurelios said about asking questions. Well, maybe you should start. Or are you afraid of the answers you'll get? He reclines back on his chair as he contemplates the issue. Kallus is not a coward. He isn't. And he knows that he's in the right. The Empire is doing what is best. It's trying to bring back order in a galaxy that is full of lies, deceit, and violence. That's its role, restoring order and bringing safety to the people. All people, not just humans, like the Lasat rebel was implying. Still, the Empire is made of regular beings, people who are as susceptible to corruption as anyone else. Is it possible that his superiors didn't act in the Empire's, in the people's, best interest on Geonosis? That's a worrying thought. Kallus has worked in internal affairs. He knows how the behavior of even a single officer can have an impact on everyone under them, or, even worse, on civilians. He stares at the furthest wall in his office, his gaze unseeing. Is he really about to do this? Surely he trusts his fellow coworkers and his superiors. He's well aware of how competent the majority of them are. Well, more like a good portion of them, he thinks, as his mind goes to Price and some of the others he's worked with in the past. He almost makes a face, but he holds it in out of habit, mindful of the cameras in his office. This accusation is too important to let go, even if it's coming from a rebel. Maybe even more so coming from a rebel. If it's merely a baseless assertion, then he will be able to prove how untrustworthy the Spectres are. But what if it's not unfounded? Aurelios had looked so sure of himself as he said those words, as if he knew they would settle like rocks in Kallus's stomach and churn and turn until he couldn't ignore them anymore. He has to check. If there is a weakness, a wound inside the ranks, he should search for it and make sure he can heal it before it starts festering. It's not his job anymore, technically, but being ISB allows him a modicum of freedom in what he decides to investigate. He lowers his eyes and rubs his hand on his forehead, thinking hard. He's going to have to be smart about this. Before he starts his research, he has to make sure that he's safe. No one must know what he is doing until he has proof to bring to the higher-ups. If he was a corrupt officer, a traitor to the Empire's values, he would be monitoring the internal network to make sure that no one was onto him. One more reason to tread carefully. He starts by engaging the security locks. Just a press of a button hidden under his desk, and the door to his office is locked. He can't have anyone barging in on him, but a locked door in the middle of the day would be suspicious. He turns on the hall camera and adds a security alarm for good measure. Now, everyone walking by his door will trigger a silent alarm, and he'll be able to act quickly. The last step is disabling the office monitoring. He's used this function sparingly in his career, but it's a necessity given what he's about to do. He takes a deep breath, feeling nervous all of a sudden. It's fine, he tells himself, running a hand over his slicked back hair. It's fine, he repeats in his mind, as he tucks back a stray lock that was about to escape the gel's protective cast. He links his fingers together, stretches his arms straight in front of himself, and makes sure to take some of the tension out of his wrists and shoulders. "Stop stalling," he chides himself, before opening the internal database and searching for Geonosis.
"Your query for Geonosis produced 5 results,"
appears on his screen. He frowns. That's unexpected. Surely there must be more results than that. He checks his spelling, but it's correct. How is this possible? Maybe the officers who wrote the reports misspelled the name of the planet. It's happened before. Just a few months ago, Callus had to fight tooth and nail against a ridiculous bug in the system that kept correcting his surname into Callus. It took an entire week before someone in IT finally decided to fix it, and Callus knows that there are still reports written during that time which contain that particular misspelling. Not like he can go and fix others' reports, even though part of him has been itching to do it since then. He tries a few versions of the name with increasingly frustrating results. Even variations of the word Geonosians don't bring up a satisfying outcome. With a small huff of breath, he goes back to the first search, the one that brought up the most results. He taps his screen to open the first document, inputs his password and his personal PIN when prompted, and starts reading. Or he would start reading if what was now on his screen was readable. As it is, a good 85% of the text has been redacted. Heavily redacted. Some sentences seem to have been obscured twice by different individuals. That can't be right. He's a high-ranking ISB agent. He is authorized to read uncensored reports. Feeling something brewing in his gut, obviously a mix of frustration and indignation, he opens the metadata to find more details. The document must be corrupted. The dates are all gibberish, and both the field with the name of the creator and the one with the editors of the file are empty. As he reflects over the failures of Imperial technology, something else catches his eye. At the end of the page, under the redacted by section, is a familiar name. Admiral Wolf Ularin. Callus blinks at the rank. Ularin must have redacted the file before he resigned and became a colonel in the ISB. That, at least, gives him a rough estimation of the timing, but it's not a lot to go on. Callus goes back to the file, frowning deep in thought. It's quite evident that there have been multiple security reviews of the document, not just one, and yet there is only one name for the reviewer. What does that mean? He shakes his head as he goes to wipe his palms over his thighs, a habit he trained himself out of when he was a cadet. He curls his hands into fists instead. This can't just be a malfunctioning search, a corrupted file, or a bug. Someone is trying to hide something. He's on the right track. He knows it. He starts going through the report, scanning the scarce words and few sentences that are still uncensored. Then he opens the following document of his search, and the next, and the one after that, and the last one, too. He arranges the windows side by side on his screen, opens a new text document, and starts taking notes. This is not good. Kark, that's a euphemism. This is criffing horrifying. Callus has always been quick-minded, smart enough to put together seemingly unrelated information in a matter of seconds when he needs to, but now he wishes he was just a tad stupider. For, from the few relevant details in his possession, the mentions of construction works, a lone sterilization that was surely left uncensored accidentally, something about transferring some type of station, he can only come to one conclusion. Aurelios was right about Geonosis. He sits very still for a moment. What is this? He doesn't know. Unacceptable? No, that's an insufficient descriptor for the situation. The Geonosians, an entire population, a whole planet, has been destroyed because of the Empire's interests, because of an Imperial station. What type of station would be so important, so secret, that the Empire would have to massacre an entire species to keep it secret? He wonders, staring at his screen. This can't be normal. This is not the norm. he tells himself firmly, while a small voice in the back of his head whispers about Lasan. No, he can't. He will not go there. Not now. He must focus on his research, on what he's discovered. On the horrible knowledge that his mentor has something to do with this. Callus knows that bringing peace is not an easy task. Everyone in the ranks has blood on their hands. It's the nature of the beast. To bring order, they have to convince civilians to want order, and if they do not, well, the Empire will bring order, no matter what. Will bring peace at all costs. But when does the cost become too high? And is it peace if they're bringing it with violence and death and destruction? Callus doesn't know much about Geonosis or its culture. He knows what Genosians look like due to the fact that he's been exposed to so many alien races in his job, but he never wondered about them, about their history, their traditions. His natural curiosity never extended to them. He never asked himself what types of lives the beings he fought against lived. Part of it was compartmentalization, of course. You can't fight against insurgents if you feel a kinship to them. Take the Rebels of the Ghost, for example. Callus doesn't feel anything but contempt for them. They create chaos and mayhem wherever they go. They are violent and impulsive, using explosives even in open settings where civilians could be harmed. They don't care about casualties, about hurting people. Sure, not many civilians have actually been injured during their escapades, and even though the Rebels fight against them and they fight hard, not as many stormtroopers have been killed in action as could have been. They've been punched, kicked, aspirated into the void of space. Callus winces, remembering how he almost met his end that way. But the number could have been much higher if this cell behaved like Saw Gerrera. His face automatically rearranges itself into a scowl, thinking about the Partisan's leader, and he forces himself to smooth it out. This is not a productive line of thought. He's being emotional when he can't let his personal feelings on this matter cloud his judgment. What he needs to do is more research to see how far this rot extends into the Empire. What he does instead, foolishly, is open an incognito window and start browsing the Galactic Imperial Holonet. He feels idiotic looking this up, but his fingers type Geonosis History and Culture almost without his permission. He just wants to see, to learn what he never took the time or had the courage to research. What he discovers is strangely alien, yes, but also surprisingly normal. Sure, basing a society in its entirety on a caste system is an outdated concept, in his opinion, but Callus can see the similarities in the way that power is in the hands of a single individual, whose orders are enforced by various leaders and soldiers. The warriors are honorable and prove their worth in battle, which embodies meritocratic ideals. The thing about mind control through brainworms is just weird, though. Callus keeps reading about the planet's history and muses about all the other species he's met, everything he's willfully ignored. The thought of Lasan resurfaces and persists in his mind. Clearly, the report on Geonosis was a fluke, but he should still make sure that his own accounts of what went down on Lasan are there. He's just checking, just making sure, he tells himself, as he turns back to the Imperial database. He almost sighs in relief when he reads,
"Your query for Lasan produced 42 results.
That's good. That seems like it could be a correct number. He scrolls through the results. The first three are documents mentioning Callus, referring to him as the Butcher of Lasan. The name makes him grit his teeth, but he wades through until he finds his report on the second page. Callus opens it, ready for the retelling of the events that have been played behind his eyelids during so many sleepless nights. He has to input his password twice after getting it wrong due to a slight tremble that makes his hands unusually clumsy. Fuck, he mutters as soon as the file loads, his voice wobbling on the fricative. What the carking fuck? The screen in front of him is almost completely black. Heavy redactions hide the words, thick black boxes covering almost the whole text. This report is censored nearly as heavily as the one on Geonosis. Inanely, the first clear thought that comes to his jumbled mind is, "It took me hours to write that report." As foolish as it sounds, even in the privacy of his own mind, he knows it's true. Callus had started composing the report in his head while the medics were taking care of him, their hands invasive, prodding him without care, and sticking him with needles, no matter how many times he told them to stop. The Bacta felt soothing on his wounds as he asked for a tablet and started writing everything down, wanting to give his own account of the facts while they were still fresh in his mind and the memories were still as clear as possible. He had written about arriving on the planet with his own troops, given some background about the siege, and explained why he had been sent to quell the rebellion. He had been objective, wanting to highlight how differently the situation could have evolved if they had tried to negotiate with the Queen, if they had waited to attack, if they hadn't used the disruptors. His throat constricts, rendering swallowing difficult. He can't find any mentions of his bow rifle. The way he acquired it in combat has been concealed under a layer of secrecy that Callus can't explain. He cannot accept that this report, which took him so long to write, is now nothing more than a handful of unconnected words. The hand that had unconsciously been clutching his armrest lifts to his hair, now gripping the strands and messing their neatness. It's not about the time it took to write the carking report, he knows. But if he tries to focus on what is in front of him, he thinks he might start screaming, and while the cameras and microphones in his office have all been disabled, the walls are not thick enough to contain his emotions. He needs to calm down. Truthfully, he needs to discover who is the piece of bantha shit who censored his report, but first, he really needs to calm down. He turns to the holonet and searches for Lasan, which is admittedly a fairly generic inquiry, therefore it shouldn't surprise him when he gets all types of results. Better to narrow his search. Lasan history and culture. This time, the results are more relevant and to the point. He starts reading the first article he encounters, but soon finds himself frustrated with the information he is presented with. While there is a good deal of astrographical and geological information, Callus is already aware of the planet's location, and of the physical conformation of the terrain. The section about culture is even worse. It barely mentions the type of government and doesn't even touch on the things Callus wants to learn. He blinks, bewildered, when he realizes that he knows more information about Lasat culture than what is written on this page. He stares at the bow rifle next to him, feeling cold and strangely mournful. Does he even deserve to know as much about Lasat as he does? He killed so many of them. Is he worthy of having the knowledge? A shiver runs through him, and he suddenly wishes his meteorite wasn't in his quarters. He thinks he'd like to hold it now. He swallows, turning back to his research. Surely if he digs far enough, he'll find what he's looking for. He tries typing Lasat, and more results appear in front of his eyes. The first pieces are all regurgitated repetitions of the same few sentences, to the point where Callus wonders whether an artificial intelligence wrote them or a bee monkey acquired a screen with a holonet connection. He finally manages to unearth a scientific paper, and he delves in. There isn't as much new material as he'd like, but some of it piques his curiosity. The recurring theme of Ashla, a cross between a religion and some sort of all-encompassing force, seems to be similar to how Jedi describe the Force, and the Bogan may represent the dark side of the Force, but Callus is more interested in other aspects of Lasat's society. The paper mentions a matriarchal structure and an emphasis on combat and honor. The Lasan High Honor Guard comes up a couple of times, but what really fascinates Callus are the theories on how Lasat as a language evolved. He's intrigued by the sounds that have been uploaded, and he listens to the fragments a few times. Like the author of the paper points out, the R sound is unlike most others in the galaxy. Before he knows it, he has a new tab open about the Lasat language. Part of him is disappointed when he doesn't find any mentions of the word Karabast, even when he searches for it on a website that calls itself the one and only Lasat to Basic Dictionary. The gall these beings have is incredible. There are less than 100 total translations. He follows a link at the bottom of the page, and he finds himself in the About section of the site. The owner explains that since there are so few remaining Lasat, she's open to corrections about errors and mistranslations. A note in red suggests that she would be extremely grateful if beings with additional knowledge of the language, or even native speakers, could contact her. Callus swallows the flood of saliva invading his mouth, a wave of nausea hitting him all of a sudden. Trying to go back to safer ground, he moves back to the research paper and reads the next sections, which are about Lasat courtship. That shouldn't be unexpected. It's a scientific paper. Of course it would cover this type of topic as rigorously and objectively as possible. And yet, Callus doesn't know how to feel as he skims over the words. His eyes go over mentions of gift-giving, taking care of one's own partner, training and fighting together, and even more aspects of the courtship rituals. There is even a small section about how to attract a mate, which slightly amuses Callus. For warriors to attract a mate, for example, they have to train together to show their own strength and evaluate their partner's abilities. They should tend to each other's wounds and, if the bond is strong, even clean each other's weapons. Callus snorts indelicately. Honestly, he finds these courtship rituals much more bearable than human ones. Dating, going out to a restaurant and making small talk are all actions Callus has endured in the past, but he never understood the point of it. He smirks to himself. Maybe the Lasat are onto something. He allows himself to relax and slouch slightly as he reads about what qualities are considered attractive in a Lasat. Markedly visible and prominent stripes are essential, as is well-groomed facial hair. Physical strength is important in both males and females. Smell is more nuanced. It seems to be more about compatibility than pheromones, as is the case with other species. And, contrary to other species, height is not considered as relevant in courtship. Callus blinks when he reads about average measurements. A male Lasat who is 2 meters tall seems to be considered below average. He almost wants to chuckle. So Aurelios is short for a Lasat, isn't he? That could be fantastic ammunition in their next fight. He should absolutely taunt Aurelios with this knowledge the next time he sees him. That reminds me, Callus thinks, as he opens yet another tab to search for news about the Spectres. He adds filters to show only the last standard cycle and sorts by latest, but there doesn't seem to be any new information. Just to be sure, he searches for Garazeb Aurelios news, since he was just doing his research about Lasat and their home planet. Again, nothing relevant, although a small image in the corner brings the article he just read to the forefront of his mind. He types in Garazeb Aurelios Still Hollows, his finger hovering uncertainly for a second before he hits enter. Aurelios looks exactly like Callus remembers. Tall, although apparently short for a Lasat, Callus is never going to let him live that down. Muscular, of course, given the type of activities he's usually involved in. Strong, he adds, when he sees a picture of Lasat lifting a stormtrooper over his head. His dreadful jumpsuit only highlights the lines of his body, but even with that garish yellow, his stripes are quite noticeable, dark against the rest of his fur. And his beard is neat, not exactly shortly trimmed, but well kept. A question flashes unbidden through Callus's mind. Is Aurelios attractive? Not that there are many Lasat around to evaluate his looks. Callus swallows again, shying away from the thought. But he does have all the qualities that should theoretically be appreciated by those belonging to his species. He's tall and strong and muscular and has a nice beard. Did the paper mention anything else? Ah, yes, smell. Callus can't really weigh in on that one way or the other. Aurelios smells strong, that's true, but not unpleasant. Just foreign, he reckons. Time to do some more research on that, too. Callus feels like a young cadet again when he had the holonet at his fingertips for the first time. He's curious, he's motivated, he wants to learn more. That's something he hasn't felt in a long time. His search for Lasat biology brings some interesting results. Just like his latest read mentioned, smell is not about pheromones. It's merely an indicator that another being might be compatible with them. On the other hand, if two beings are incompatible, they will perceive each other as smelling rather foul. Evolution is so bizarre, Callus thinks to himself. The explanation about scent glands and secretions is too technical for him to understand, but the gist of it seems to be that Lasat use scent to communicate in a way, to mark their loved ones. Maybe diving deeper into Lasat anatomy could be a good idea, he thinks, going back to the search. As the new results appear, he squints at the holoscreen, trying to understand what he is seeing. It's all pixelated. Why? He clicks on the weird thumbnail and... oh. That's a lot of Lasat on his screen. Lasat privates, to be precise. Is that... quite impressive, for sure. He's inadvertently brought his face closer to the screen, but he's never seen anything quite like that. The little box under the search bar taunts Callus with a suggested search.
People have also searched for Lasat anatomy, still hollows.
And Callus has a curious mind. No one could blame him if he took a quick look. No one would know, either. His gaze falls onto the red warning on the side of his screen, and he goes over his security measures once more. The door is locked, the alarm and the hall camera are on, his office is not currently being monitored, and, most importantly, he is using incognito mode. He also has many windows open, a few too many, probably. The terminal he's working on might overheat unless he closes some of them, he reasons, as he brings them up one by one and exits out of them. That leaves only Aurelios's picture, zoomed in to better see his face and a hint of fangs, and the page with the suggested search. Callus is not a coward. He isn't. He has a curious mind, and that is the one and only reason why he taps on the suggested search. That particular choice might not have been the smartest one, he thinks, as his screen refreshes and he is made aware that the safe search is now off. Dicks. Dicks everywhere. Alien dicks, to be precise. They are not completely unfamiliar, Callus guesses. He does have some experience, with his own and also the few others he's had the pleasure to encounter. These are different, though. Still recognizable, of course, but different. The shape is almost the same, although the round bumps, ridges, nubs, on the length are unexpected. How does that even work? And why are the testicles at the base of the shaft instead of hanging between the legs? He narrows his eyes. Actually, not all male Lasat seem to have the same shape. He looks some more, his nose almost hitting the screen yet again. Should he invest in a pair of reading glasses? He draws back as soon as he realizes his closeness, but not before noticing a new suggestion.
Lasat anatomy, holovids.
This is a terrible idea, Callus says out loud, even as his fingers move and bring up a new page. Thankfully, the autoplay is off. Callus makes sure that the audio is turned off too. That would be an embarrassing way to attract attention. He takes in the rows upon rows of pornography in front of him. They all feature the same anatomic parts in vivid detail. He doesn't know where to start, so he just chooses a holo randomly. A new video appears in front of him, the Lasat smirking right at him. He looks nothing like Aurelios. They are obviously the same species, their coloring is similar, but Aurelios's stripes are more prominent, and he's more muscular compared to the Lasat on the screen. The angle of the camera changes, and now Callus has a front row seat to the round nubs that fascinated him in the still hollow. They are evenly spaced out in lines that go down the shaft, and as the Lasat moves his hand over them, they seem to produce a thin liquid. Lubrication, perhaps? Callus's observations from before still apply. The phallus is not that different from a human's, not completely alien. At least, that's what he thinks, until a human hand enters the frame and starts caressing the length. The human's hand can't even fully close around the breadth. The Lasat has to wrap his own large hand around the human's and link their fingers together. So, Lasat are proportional. Good for them, he thinks, feeling lightheaded. He starts noticing something then. Every time the joined hands move, they squeeze at the base. They don't pay as much attention to the tip as one might expect. Is that another anatomical difference? Are Lasat more sensitive there? Callus's question gets answered quickly after the human's hands get slapped away. Was he doing something wrong? When the base starts to swell. And swell. And swell even more. The Lasat's hands can barely wrap around that whip, and he squeezes one last time before he starts coming. Thick ropes of pearly fluid land on his own hands, on his abdomen, and Callus thinks probably on the person in front of him, too. He looks at the video, entranced, and shifts, suddenly realizing that he's getting... Oh, stars, no, he frantically thinks, as he becomes aware of his own accelerated breaths, the warmth in his cheeks indicating that he is indeed blushing. This is a completely normal reaction, he tries telling himself. He just watched a stranger masturbate. Of course his body would have the natural expected reaction. The fact that his mouth is watering, and he hasn't looked away from the screen this entire time, doesn't mean anything at all. Callus is doing research, serious research about Lasat biology. He's not a pervert, and he is not enjoying this. But he could. Oh, stars, he could enjoy himself long and hard. Not that he wants to. That would be bad. It would be extremely unprofessional, of course. He's in his office, where he has to work and focus every day for Kark's sake. Suddenly, he remembers a conversation he overheard long ago about security locks and officers turning off the monitoring devices in their offices to lose themselves in self-pleasure, and a strangled sound gets stuck somewhere in his throat. He doesn't want to know what expression is on his face, but he's sure that he's not as composed as he was before he opened the blasted HoloNet. He is not going to think about this. He is not going to get distracted by his own personal preferences. He has a job to do, and the job is to discover how many files have been tampered with and who the culprit is. He doesn't have time for this type of distraction. He bites the inside of his lip and counts down from 100 to bring his thought processes back into focus. When he looks back at the screen, he doesn't look at Aurelius's hollow or at his penis. At the anonymous Lasat's penis. He closes the still hollow and the vid. To avoid temptation, he closes the search altogether. He needs to go back to the database. He's ready to go over reports with a fine-toothed comb. He will find his answers. He will discover where the real issues lie within the Empire, and he will bring them to light. He is Alexander Callus, and he is criffing good at his job. He's going to find the root of this issue, and he's going to solve it by any means necessary. He cracks his neck, first to the right and then to the left, and begins his search. The end. Author's endnotes. A note from my beta. Did you know root is slang for dick in Chinese? Also, the bug Callus was talking about? Not a real IT issue. It was one of his coworkers pranking him. The reason it took weeks to solve it? The IT department found it hilarious. They read Callus's strongly worded emails out loud, making fun of his posh accent. The end for real.